Hi, this is Bill Wills.
And I'm Mike Snyder.
Thanks for checking out Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. We're around daily, 5 to 9. News, sports, traffic and weather on the 10s. Mike, a lot of going on, right?
Yeah, there always is. And we've got the latest in sports. Of course, what's going on with the Tribe, what may be happening with the Cavs and the Browns. And then, of course, we have the news and we get you around town with traffic on the 10s.
Be sure to follow us here on the podcast and get the episode each and every day. And join us if you can on Twitter. I'm Bill Wills at WTAM 1100.
And I'm at Snyder 1100.
Today's Wills and Snyder in Cleveland's Morning News.
Glad to have you with us.
Filling up this 2306 price to beat per gallon of gas. More on your money. WTAM.com, keyword money. Scooter East, producer extraordinaire alongside. Trending stories coming up. What you got?
Oh, we got some prison time for one of the Capitol rioters.
Uh-oh.
And President Biden walking back a comment about Facebook.
Yeah, not quite what he meant to say, I guess. So we'll get to that coming up. Traffic and weather together on the 10s. 5:10 the time. Here's Pat Butler.
Next traffic update in 10 minutes with 520. Pat Butler, WTAM traffic on 1100 AM and 106.9 FM.
Weather, Cleveland 3 News forecast from meteorologist Holly Strano. Sunny skies, beautiful warm day, mid-80s this afternoon. 64, your severe weather. Indians continue their troubles in Houston and the Bucks on the verge of their first NBA title in 50 years. Mike Snyder Sports in 2 minutes.
Expanding the Wills and Snyder universe with expanded interviews. Hear the Wills and Snyder Showgram podcast on our free iHeartRadio.
All right, trending stories, Wills and Snyder Facebook, willsandsnyder.com. Scoot, we got a repeat from a reporter here from your buddy Pete Williams on this first Capitol rioter that's sentenced, right?
Yes, man is from Florida. Here we go.
This man is Paul Hodgkins from Florida. He came to the Capitol on January 6th, attended the rally near the White House, and then marched up to the Capitol, went inside, and made his way to the Senate floor, as you see in this photograph that was widely distributed, carrying a big Trump 2020 flag. He's wearing goggles around his neck that he had on when he came into the Senate chamber. He was also carrying a backpack. He stayed in the Senate chamber for about 10 or 15 minutes and then left. Now, he did not engage in any violent behavior, the government says. He didn't damage any property. But nonetheless, prosecutors today asked a federal judge to sentence him to 18 months in prison. They said that would send a loud and clear message to other would-be rioters that if and when they're caught, they will face a serious sentence. So there won't be a next time, said one of the assistant U.S. attorneys in the hearing today. His own lawyer said the more appropriate sentence would be no jail time at all or home detention. But Judge Randolph Moss sentenced Hodgkins to 8 months in prison and 2 years supervised release. The judge said, addressing Moss in court and just a few moments ago, said, although you were only one member of a larger mob, you actively participated in a larger event that threatened the Capitol and democracy itself. He said the damage that was caused that way was way beyond a several-hour delay of the vote. It's a damage that will persist in this country for several decades.
So he's off to prison.
8 months. They wanted more, so he gets about eight.
All right.
So there you go. He's won. I mean, there's going to be more, I'm sure.
Meanwhile, at the other end of Pennsylvania Avenue, the elected president of the United States walking back some comments that Facebook kills people.
Yes, of course. Yes, that's what he said over the weekend.
Here President Biden.
The only pandemic we have is among the unvaccinated. And they're killing people.
I was asked that question about what do I think is happening. Facebook isn't killing people. These 12 people are out there giving misinformation. Anyone listening to it is getting hurt by it. It's killing people. It's bad information. My hope is that Facebook, instead of taking it personally, that somehow I'm saying Facebook is killing people, that they would do something about the misinformation.
Okay.
The damage control.
Basically damage control. You can't say that. Go back out. Say something else. Have the helicopter in the back. Yeah.
I would love to be in the Oval Office with him. But they go, hey, Joe, look here.
He comes in, they're shaking their head. No, here's what you got to do now.
Right.
I saw somebody post this last night, and they had right next to it, Fauci. You know, first month or two of the pandemic, don't wear a mask.
Right.
Well, I think that was kind of false information, too, right? The
yes.
way we find out.
Sure.
But, yeah, whatever.
Sure.
Whatever. Whatever. All right. Thanks, Scoop.
You're welcome.
Wilson Center Facebook, WilsonCenter.com. Stories are up there. Hey, Clay and Buck will welcome Senator Ted Cruz after 2 today. They'll talk Cuba, big tech censorship, and immigration. Senator Ted Cruz with Clay and Buck after 2 on News Radio WTAM 1100. Coming up at 5, latest on Bezos and the crew. Looks like it's a go for the launch this morning. Rory O'Neill is following it. Sports, 5:15. Mike Snyder following the Tribe this morning.
Yeah, Bill, they were in Houston last night, opening over a 3-game series with the Astros. We go to the 5th inning. Houston on top 2-1. J.C. Mejia on the mound for the Indians. Astros with a runner on board and Yordan Alvarez at the plate. He'd been in an 0-for-22 slump.
Brantley off the bag at first. Here's the pitch, and that's walloped high and deep to right. Oh, my. Way on out of here. A mammoth home run off the bat of Yordan Alvarez, and Houston is now in front 4-1.
And 4 would be enough as they hold off the Indians by a score of 4-3. Mejia, who got through the 4-plus innings, did encourage Tito in this regard.
I thought Berto did. You know, they were on a good. Berto was trying to get him to be aggressive in the zone so he could spin the ball and not spin it off the plate necessarily. But and to your point, you know, the 8 strikeout says a lot. Says the stuff is there.
The stuff is there, but he continues to give up way too many runs. And again, the Indians fail to get 5 innings out of their starter. At the plate, Franmil Reyes was terrific. He drove in 2, hit his 16th homer. That was a mammoth shot, and he's upbeat.
Unfortunately, we lost, but we're coming back tomorrow and winning. And the next day as well, like we did in Oakland. We lost the first one, but we win the second one and the third one. That's exactly what is our plan for tomorrow and the next day.
Tristan McKenzie takes the mound tonight at 8:10. You can hear it right here and free on the iHeartRadio app. Few other Tribe notes. Roberto Perez had a passed ball last night. That is a story. First time he's had one since September of 2018. He'd gone 184 games without one. And Shane Bieber had a baseball in his hand and was actually allowed to throw it yesterday. He worked down the side just really from 60 feet away. So it's his first chance to really throw, though, since he went down with a shoulder injury. But Bieber and Aaron Civale still a ways away from returning to the rotation. The Milwaukee Bucks hope to put an end to the NBA season tonight when they host the Suns in Game 6. Bucks with a 3-2 lead. They'll seek their first championship in 50 years, while Phoenix will seek to force a Game 7. Optimism around the Browns is soaring, as it should, and they certainly are one of the teams people want to see across the country. The network's taking note. All 3 of the Browns' preseason games will be nationally televised. The first game is August 14th at Jacksonville against Urban Meyer and company, and the August 22nd game hosting the Giants. Both of those games on the NFL Network. August 29th against Atlanta on NBC. Steelers have signed edge rusher Melvin Ingram as they look to fill the spot vacated by Bud Dupree, who went to Tennessee. Ingram's been a very good player for the Chargers over the last 9 years. Home of the Indians and the Cavs, Mike Snyder, WTAM Sports.
People who say they go into space, that they come back changed. I can't wait to see what it's going to do to me.
As you're ascending, essentially it feels like the Earth is falling away from you.
Watching the whole thing roll through your window.
Exactly.
Blue Origin insists the ship is loaded with safety backups, with the Bezos Great Escape set for 9 a.m. Eastern.
Our Rory O'Neill following it this morning. We still a go?
Yeah, everything is looking good. So about less than an hour from now, they'll actually start loading up the fuel with liquid hydrogen and liquid oxygen. There are 3 motors on this new Shepard rocket that will carry this crew of 4 up above the Kármán line, more than 60 miles into space. But again, it's a pretty quick trip, launching at 9 a.m. Eastern time. Don't miss it. The whole thing's over in about 11 minutes.
The crew, 82-year-old. Then we've got Bezos and his brother. This 18-year-old guest replaces a mystery bidder who decided to postpone taking part in the historic trip, but still historic today, right?
Yeah. They said they had a scheduling conflict, which we all knew was going to be a July 20th launch, and she paid $28 million for it. So, okay. I'm thinking either the spouse or the lawyers got involved.
But
Wally Funk is also the great story here. She's a female aviation pioneer, 82 years old, about to launch into space, fulfilling a lifelong dream. NASA rejected her, not because of her abilities, but because of her gender. They rejected her 60 years ago, but here she is today going into space.
All right, as far as what we're going to see today, this thing is going to lift off and then land with parachutes where Branson had the airplane-looking thing, right?
Right. So this is more of a traditional rocket, little capsule on the top. It's going to launch straight up, reach Mach 3, then jettison the capsule. The rocket will come down, land on its own for reuse in the future. It's going to land vertically. The capsule will then parachute down also in the West Texas desert with some retro rockets firing just before touchdown. So hopefully it should be a pretty smooth landing for this crew.
And if so, Blue Origin plans to start flying customers in the coming months who are paying, and of course have room on their calendar to make the trip as well when it does happen. Check your calendar.
And commit.
Rory O'Neill on it this morning. Rory, thanks much.
Thanks, Bill.
524. A couple other stories for you this morning. Cuba is now allowing passengers. How bad is it in Cuba? Cuba is now allowing passengers to bring in food and medicine, tax-free. Been seeing the protests there over shortages of food, medicine, prompting the response from Cuba. Starting this week until the end of the year, the Cuban Ministry of Higher Education says they'll allow people flying into the communist island to bring unlimited food, hygiene, and medical products with no import fees. Last week, the president of Cuba shocked many with some self-criticism while saying that government shortcomings in handling the shortages and other problems played a role in the protests that happened, and of course, a lot of support for them. Around the world. Meanwhile, COVID to the north, as expected, the Canadian federal government yesterday unveiled a new border policy, once again allowing us, if you live in the U.S., but only if you're fully vaccinated, to come north. Revamped policy for Americans goes into effect August 9th. Public Health Agency Canada says the border will reopen to travelers from other parts of the world September 7th. The border's been closed since March of last year. Although Canada is allowing unvaccinated people across the border if they're visiting on, quote, essential business, they're still required to quarantine for a full 2 weeks before they're allowed to mingle with anybody else in Canada. And Rob Bailey's got more on the Cleveland schools announcing as students get back this fall, that they will have to wear a mask, as well as staff and teachers. And if you go to visit a Cleveland school building, you will as well. It'll be interesting to see how schools handle things this fall. And with the variant and all that's making news, a leading pediatrics organization recommending that virtually all students be masked up when they head back into a classroom this fall. The American Academy of Pediatrics releasing their recommendations yesterday, calling for all students over the age of 2 to wear a face mask. But despite calling for the extra precautions, the group, quote, strongly recommends in-person learning instead of remote classes, citing the risk of setbacks. Earlier this month, CDC said that fully vaccinated students and staff do not need to wear a mask before going indoors. So this goes against what CDC guidelines are. So it kind of gives cover for either way, I guess, a school building wants to handle it this fall. Stock market dropped yesterday over, 700 points. This is Karen Cho of CNBC this morning.
We are seeing futures recover this morning. Worth noting that on the sell-off yesterday, there are a number of concerns in the market. The spread of the Delta variant, chief concern for market participants at this stage, given the rise in U.S. cases, particularly among the unvaccinated, there are concerns what that does to the recovery we're witnessing so far. Also, market valuations have run pretty high coming into the earnings season, and there are concerns about just what level they're trading at this stage. That 700-point plunge in the Dow was on low volatility, so worth bearing that in mind as we see futures start to improve this morning.
Now, I play that because she's one of the talking heads. You know, you look up on these TV screens and they're going back and forth about the market and you're trying to keep up and explain. Michael Bauer joined us to slice through this for a little bit this morning. So the Dow closed down over 700 points. That's like 2%. At one point, it was down like, I think, 900 yesterday.
Yeah, it was down pretty far. It ended up falling 2.1%, which is as big as one-day loss so far this year. And again, she brought the point to the table here that this is all due to the fact that it was from Wall Street to Sydney, all across the globe, people are concerned about the pandemic, the worsening pandemic in hot spots around the world, and that that could derail what's been so far a strong economic recovery, that the outbreaks of the Delta variant among unvaccinated people have led to these big sell-offs. The S&P 500 stock market index had its worst decline since May. You have the Dow, and all of it seems to come back to this belief that, for the most part, the mind frame for the stock market for Wall Street had been, hey, look, this is done, right? It's all right. It's all behind us. What's next? What do we got coming up here? And the reality is what we saw yesterday was kind of the belief that this is creeping back into the back door, that COVID is coming back into the back door. When you're looking at the numbers, another 50,000 new COVID cases defined yesterday, that those are rising numbers. When you're looking at the fact that COVID cases per day have tripled over the past 30 days in the U.S., and you're seeing rising numbers across the globe. Just in Tokyo alone, where you're set to have the Olympics begin in 3 days, they just had 1,400 new cases yesterday alone. So this is a concern on a global level, and you started to see that reflected in stock markets around the world yesterday.
President Biden asked about this some at the White House yesterday, pointing out, look, the stock market is still higher than it's been in history, even though it took the hit yesterday. He also did talk about inflation some, which is something you and I have been touching on a few times in the last few weeks, right?
Yeah, and the question as to whether or not this was something that was going to stay, whether or not this was just sort of a passing inflation, if you will, where they were just saying, look, it's just going to be a period of time. As the economy starts to recover, as people start to get back to work, we're looking at this sort of eventually evening out. But now the question is, and this is where a lot of the stock market questions came yesterday, is this thing going to even out? Are we going to have mandatory mask mandates? Are we going to have to start rolling things back because of the Delta variant and because we've got such a low number of people vaccinated in this country? That's the key here. Even with these breakthrough infections, which are the ones that people who have already been vaccinated but are still catching COVID, and even the people that we know in the tremendous amount of volumes in hospitals right now that were never vaccinated, we don't have enough to slow this thing down. So all that means is more variants that may eventually overtake whatever susceptibility the coronavirus would have to our vaccines. It may overtake those. We may be back in square one sooner rather than later. And I think that was a reality that was seen yesterday.
Michael Bauer on the market reaction. Michael, thanks much.
You got to stay safe.
By the way, if it helps you feel any better, the COVID recession is officially over and going down as the shortest ever in history. National Bureau of Economic Research says it lasted officially 2 months, February to April of last year, but the economy is still recovering after millions of jobs furloughed or laid off. Nation added 850,000 non-farm jobs last month. Unemployment rate is still higher than the pre-pandemic rate at 5.9%. But at least technically, they say the COVID recession lasted officially about 2 months. All right, coming up in five, though, President Biden would really like to get this infrastructure bill pushed through the Senate. There's two of them. One's about $1 trillion, a little under $1 trillion. There's like $3.5 trillion. Republicans might go along with $1 trillion. Senator Schumer's going to push him into a procedural vote tomorrow. We'll talk more about that with our political analyst, Steve Roberts, in 5 minutes on News Radio, WTAM 1100.
Bill Wills, something you can tell somebody today.
You told me, was it yesterday the anniversary of you going to the Navy?
Yes, it was. July 19th, I went in, and that was 33. Yeah, and then July 18th.
What did they do? Your parents dropped you off at Hopkins and waved?
No, actually, back then you were allowed to go to the gate, and we had.
So they actually went to the gate.
Yeah, we reported at the
throw
U.S.
You out of the car.
No. Went to the
don't
U.S.
Serve your country.
You went to the USO.
Put your
office.
Feet under somebody else's table.
No. Okay. And the USO was great there at good. Hopkins.
Thank you for your service.
And got in there, and then they watched me leave.
A lot of people join the service, like the Navy, to see the world, right?
Yes.
Okay. How far did you go?
To Norway and the Caribbean. I was pretty a Caribbean good. In Norway. So
there's a cruise out, guys. That sold out in less than 3 hours. The starting ticket was $73,499. Another sign that we're coming back from the pandemic. People want to spend money and cruise. The Regent Seven Seas Cruise Package put tickets for the 2024 World Cruise up for sale at 8:30. They sold out in minutes.
Really?
According to a company statement, there were fares as high as $200,000 per guest. That was for the master suite. 200 grand. Will your credit card handle that? The cruise takes off January 6th, 2024 from Miami on the Seven Seas Mariner. It'll go a five-month cruise, span 34,500 nautical miles, go to 66 ports, 31 countries, Central America, U.S. West Coast, Hawaii, South Pacific, Australia, New Zealand, Southeast Asia. There are 442 shore excursions available. So you're basically cruising around the world.
For 5 months.
For 5 months. And the top room, the master suite, $200,000 each, $400,000.
Well, I got paid to do it. And besides, I've been to St. Thomas about 8 times.
Yeah.
So,
well,
so you know, Jamaica.
What time of year were you up there in Norway?
Yeah.
Wintertime. That was North Star 89 and North Star 91 we went.
Ooh.
And that aircraft carrier, the seas were jumping. And when an aircraft carrier bobs up and down and you feel it, you know
it's
weather's rough.
It's a little rough.
Because aircraft carrier is like a floating city. You don't even know you're sailing.
You see this carrier rocking.
Don't bother knocking.
Sports, my sniper.
And now, 5 Good Minutes.
Always good is Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside. Terry, good morning.
Hello, Mr. Wills.
Hey, guys, let's start with the Olympics. Just that, I mean, the games start, the soccer, I think, starts on Thursday. They got COVID concerns, opening ceremonies on Friday. And we Cavs fans were hoping to watch some Kevin Love, but he pulls out. And it's this nagging calf injury, but it also even brings in more questions about Love and the Cavs going forward. As Terry, you've posted in your latest post here, right?
Yes, I mean, I've been thinking that this has got to be it for Kevin Love and the Cavaliers anyway this summer. And at first it was like, gee, this guy hardly played for the Cavaliers. Why is he trying to play in the Olympics? Why did he invite him? And I thought, oh, well, actually this could be okay because he plays fairly well. Maybe they could find somebody to trade for him, but whatever trade talks you had, why would you trade for him now? I don't care what the deal is.
Well, exactly. And again, as he couldn't even get through that and was really struggling from what we've heard. Terry, I look at this. The draft's coming up. I just don't see if there's any way they can move him right now.
No, and you have to come to a point, I think, where you say, even though you have him in the payroll for 2 more years, you just say, enough of this Kevin Love, because I really got tired the last couple of years of hearing, well, we don't have our regular starting five, and we've missed all these games because, well, we don't have Kevin Love. Well, guess what? You haven't had Kevin Love for a long time. You know, Kevin Love missed nearly half of the games over the last 3 years. If you go over the last 5 years, so that's even 2 years before he signed the extension, he was missing an average of like 20-some games a year, even back then. So, to Cup talking about, boy, you know, we don't have him in the starting lineup. Well, you haven't for a long time, and you're not going to. And I equated it to when the Indians a few years ago in 2015 made that trade with Atlanta, where remember they kept waiting for Nick Swisher and Michael Bourne to come back, and they kept getting hurt. Finally, the Indians just shipped them over to Atlanta with $11 million and some other stuff just to clear the decks and start fresh. And that's what the Cavs need to do about Kevin Love. Well, there's buy him out or whatever, but you can't come back with this thing hanging over a young team next year.
NBA draft next Thursday night. We'll find out a lot about what the Cavs are up to that evening. Terry, you mentioned baseball. The Indians coming out of the break. They had that 9-game skid. They beat the Royals, took 3 there, then 2 out of 3 in Oakland. They lose last night. Your thoughts now as we inch closer to the trade deadline for the Tribe?
Even when they've been losing, they've been playing well of late, once they got past that 9-game losing streak. And that's been really uplifting to me. And to see them, the 3 games over Kansas City, and then, as you mentioned, they basically are 2-2 on this trip, which could be a real tough one for them. And the 2 losses they had have been close. And they're starting to get a little bit of starting pitching. It's still going to be hard. I was actually glad to hear, apparently, yesterday, Bieber actually, I don't know whether he threw a baseball or threw off the mound. He did something with the baseball.
Right.
So, the first time that it's kind of like throwing it. So that's encouraging.
Yeah, but no time soon. I think we're going to see him back in the rotation. But Plesac back at there. You know, you look at this team, though. There really have been some storylines. Reyes is hitting. McKenzie is interesting tonight. Terry, can he replicate what he did in that last outing?
Yeah, that's what you can do, 2 in a row. You look at Reyes, and I think we're going to look back at that Trevor Bauer deal and say, boy, did they pull a good trade there. Because this guy, who's going to miss, probably what he missed, about 6 weeks this year, he's going to hit 25 to 30 homers, you know, just almost by being there. And I think he's going to continue to develop his power. Power comes later in a guy's career. So that's a really good, a good indication. If you have Reyes and you have Ramirez, and then a Bobby Bradley who clearly has power, you know, the strikeouts are starting to come and all that right now. But if at least if you have those guys right there in that heart of the lineup, you have some guys hit the ball out of the ballpark.
Tribe 4-3 loss last night. We'll talk about Jim Rosenhaus coming up at 8:45. Terry Pluto's takes on everything. Brown's on the field next week, right?
Next week, Terry.
Training camp, man.
It's finally here.
Yeah, nobody's cared about that, though, right?
Nah, I think hard to draw a crowd.
Everywhere I go, what about the Browns? Yeah. What about the Browns? And that's as opposed to what about the Browns going to do for a new coach instead of that garbage. It's like, what about the Browns? That's fun.
It is.
Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. Follow him on Twitter, at Terry Pluto. Great new post on the situation with the Cavs and Kevin Love, too. Terry, thanks much.
Thank you, guys.
Hey, we got $1,000 in vacation cash. You got a chance to win coming up after the news here at 7 o'clock, you hear what? You text to 200-200, then watch for a callback from the 513. Speaking of the Cavs, there's a great piece Kevin Klebs wrote in Crane's Cleveland Business. I've read this thing three times. I'm still not sure about it. So we're going to get somebody from the Cavs to explain this to me. It's digital collectibles.
Yes, I need more explanation on it, too.
Isn't that something you want to touch? How is something digital if it's a collectible? And you got these collectible lockers you put stuff in. I mean, it's a fascinating thing.
It's like Bitcoin, kind of, like, right?
There you go. So anyhow, we'll try and reach out to the Cavs, get somebody. It was just fantastic. Maybe you know more about it than I do. You probably do. But it's a great piece Kevin Klebs wrote in Cranes this week on the art of business at Rockin' Mortgage Fieldhouse. And I guess digitally on your smartphone, Mike, you and I can trade digital collectibles back.
How about that?
Yeah, there you go. Coming up, talk a little Corvettes. The Corvette, of course, is show back on for this Sunday. So more about that on the way. Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. Scott Scuderese, producer extraordinaire, going to tee it up today at Pepper Pike, producer extraordinaire alongside. A couple things trending this morning. Wills and Snyder Facebook, willsandsnyder.com. Let's start with President Biden. He didn't quite mean to say Facebook's killing people.
Yes, they made him walk it back.
The only pandemic we have is among the unvaccinated. And they're killing people.
I was asked that question about what do I think is happening? Facebook isn't killing people. These 12 people are out there giving misinformation. Anyone listening to it is getting hurt by it. It's killing people. It's bad information. My hope is that Facebook, instead of taking it personally, that somehow I'm saying Facebook is killing people, that they would do something about the misinformation.
Speaking of that, somebody on Facebook last night, I saw, they posted this, and they added the 13th, Dr. Fauci, because back early on, of course, he said, don't wear the mask. You know, we had the whole mask thing. I know, but it is what it is right now when it comes to this story. All right,
yes, it is.
That's up there for you. Also, we have prison. What did he get, 8 months, the guy getting on the floor of the Senate?
Yes, he got
out of Florida.
Eight months. Yeah, the prison for the Capitol rioter.
And a little history, taught a lot about space. It looks like Bezos still on track for Blue Origin sometime after about 9 o'clock this morning. He'll go about where Alan Shepard went. So the mission is named after Alan. It was 52 years ago. They landed about 4 o'clock, went out. Well, after 11 that night, and took the steps on the moon, right?
Yes, big, big moment.
Boy, look at those pictures.
Wow.
It's a little shadowy, but he said he expected that in the shadow of the lunar module.
Well, Walter would ask him, Neil Armstrong. At this point he couldn't, but...
38-year-old American, standing on the surface of the moon. On this July 20th, 1969.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
And of course, there's still people that think that was all staged. I mean, at one point, well, what if Walter would have asked him, hey, how come the flag's moving around? Yeah. Is there wind up there, too, boys? Right? Because, I mean, that's the case. You get all these conspiracy theories.
Yeah, people. Oh, yeah.
Well, how come the flag was, you know, what if Cronkite, hey, how come that flag's moving?
It's because Neil touched it.
Neil touched it. I believe they went. Don't send me an email.
Yes.
Trust me. All right. So that's up there for you, too. Wilson Center Facebook, yes, WilsonCenter.com. Speaking of astronauts, we talked to Ron Guerin with us a couple of weeks ago when the first flight, Sir Richard Branson, went up. He'll join us at 7:50. Talk more about what Bezos will experience a little higher up, right?
Yeah.
He'll join us coming up at 7:50.
And ask, maybe throw a question out about
up there
Armstrong. Yeah, throw a little question out there.
About Neil?
Yeah,
why not? Okay, so we'll talk to him coming up at 7:50. All right, thanks, Scoot.
You're welcome.
Wilson Center Facebook, WilsonCenter.com. Yeah, you got me 1100. I guess I should know by the way you... I love talking about stuff that we used to talk about. Yeah, we had to skip maybe a year or two. One of those events is the Corvettes at Corsa 18th Annual Charity Event. Happens this Sunday, hosted by Corvette Cleveland and Corsa Performance. Jim Young's with me from the Corvette Cleveland crew. Jim, good morning, pal.
Good morning, Bill.
This is great news, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. We had a virtual show last year. Nobody could get together.
Yeah.
But we're all excited about having an in-person show this year.
All right, let's get the word out now. First of all, if you own a vet, you should already know about this because you ought to be out showing off your vet. Now, there's a lot of pride in people that have Corvettes, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we go all over the place to different shows, and it's a pretty big group.
All right, tell me what I need to know about Corvettes at Corsa. It's on Sunday, correct?
Yes, the show starts at 10 o'clock and goes until 3. excuse me. And we're expecting between 250 and 300 Corvettes this year. So we're really looking forward to it. It's also a sanctioned event for our National Council of Corvette Clubs. So there's going to draw some of the other Corvettes that don't normally come when we don't have a sanction.
Now, what time, if I've got a Corvette, what time do you want me to be there?
Well, the gates are going to open. Registration starts at 9:30.
Okay.
And it goes until 11:30. And then there's a driver's meeting at 11:30. We expect cars to be there early in the morning, but we're not going to open the gates to the facility until about 8 o'clock, I believe.
Okay, and then award presentation about 2 in the afternoon Sunday.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
Yes. So show's over at 3 o'clock, but we're going to get trophies given out between 2 and 3.
Jim Young's with me, Corvette Cleveland. The Corvettes, of course, 18th annual charity event is indeed this Sunday in Berea at 140 Blaze Industrial Parkway. Of course, has been so fantastic to this over the years. And I got to tell you, the Corvette Club, you guys have been so great helping to raise money for charity and great causes too, with Ohio Guidestone over the years and different organizations. But it does mean a lot, and that's fantastic, Jim. So thank you for doing all that.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's our pleasure. And this Sunday marks the 19th, I guess?
18th annual I got in front of me.
18th annual. That's okay. Right. I didn't even read my own flyer.
That's all right.
In 2019, we gave Ohio Guidestone $9,300. And last year, even without in-person participation, we gave them $5,623.
That's fantastic.
A tremendous, come out for everyone to do that, even though they're not actually being at the show. So it came out really nice.
So you got a vet, shine it up, be there on Sunday. You want to walk around, look at vets, enjoy. You want to be there as well. There'll be a raffle basket. You're going to feed me, too. We got the food truck there. Jim Wright's catering concessions, too, right?
Yes, sir. And they do a wonderful job. They're going to have breakfast and lunch and ice cream. So it's going to be real good.
I can do it all: breakfast, lunch, and have ice cream. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
We have a total of $78,520 that we have given to Ohio Guidestone over the term of the show.
Thank you, thank you, thank you for the work they do with kids and family. Course of Performance been a big part of this as well. Off West Bagley Road, there in Berea, Corvettes at Corsa this Sunday, 18th annual charity event. Showtime 10 till about 3, rain or shine. Enjoy and help us raise even more money for Ohio Guidestone and walk around and enjoy the vets. Jim, what model vets you got now?
Well, I used to have a 66 Corvette that I restored. I sold that to buy a 2016 Z51 coupe, and my wife and I can travel in that a little bit better than the 66. But yeah, I've been in Corvettes most of my life, so it's a really fun hobby.
You can take a little bigger luggage in the 2016 model, right?
What's that?
You can take a little bigger luggage, a little bigger bag when you're traveling. Yeah,
quite a bit more room in it. Yeah.
Jim, thank you. Shout out to all the members of the Corvette Club as well. And this Sunday, 18th annual event in Berea, Corvettes at Corsa, and a lot of money raised over the years for Ohio Guidestone. Jim, thanks, pal.
Well, thank you, Bill, and thanks for promoting it.
You got it. Be good. Have fun Sunday in Berea. Just follow a Corvette. You'll find it. Just over an hour away from liftoff for Jeff Bezos and his crew.
People who say they go into space, that they come back changed. I can't wait to see what it's going to do to me.
As you're ascending, essentially it feels like the Earth is falling away from you.
Watching the whole thing roll through your window.
Exactly.
Blue Origin insists the ship is loaded with safety backups, with the Bezos' Great Escape set for 9 a.m. Eastern.
Former astronaut Ron Guerin, fighter pilot, check out his website and all the different work he's done. Great books, too, over the years about space. Kind enough to join me for a few minutes. Bill Wills here in Cleveland. Ron, thanks for your time.
Good morning, Bill.
Hey, we talked about this when Richard Branson went up, so a couple questions I got for you. Technically, Bezos is going up even further into space?
That's correct. Yeah, Richard Branson on his Virgin Galactic spacecraft went a little bit over 50 miles, and 50 miles is what NASA and the FAA define as the edge of space. So when NASA astronauts get above 50 miles, they're classified as quote-unquote flown astronauts, that they flew in space. The Kármán line is at 62 miles, and that's the internationally recognized boundary of space, and Blue Origin today with Jeff Bezos on board will hopefully, if everything goes as planned, go above that 62-mile line.
All right, I apologize if some of these questions seem too simple, but I'm just curious. As an astronaut, though, when you're going back and forth, aren't you strapped in at these points in the points we're talking about? You would be coming in on entry or leaving reentry.
Yeah, so one of the things that needs to be clear is that this is a suborbital flight. So they're not going to orbit. Even though they're going to the edge of space by the definition of altitude, distance from the Earth, orbit is not about how far away from the Earth you get. Orbit is about how fast you go. And so it's going to be a pretty spectacular flight. They're going to accelerate from 0 miles an hour to, you know, almost 3,000 or maybe even above 3,000 miles per hour. That's three times the speed of sound. They're going to do that in a matter of minutes. But then they're going to come right back down to the Earth. To make it to orbital flight, you don't have to go three times the speed of sound. You have to go 25 times the speed of sound. And not 3,000 miles an hour, but 17,500 miles an hour. That's 5 miles a second. So that's, you know, orders of magnitude more difficult, more challenging. So yeah, we're strapped in at those those altitudes because we're still accelerating. We got, you know, we're not even halfway to, you know, our final acceleration at that point.
At the level of the distance they're flying, then, whether it's Branson or Bezos today, they don't have satellites to worry about. There's no space junk you got to worry about.
No, like I said, they're not in orbit.
Right.
They're poking out of the atmosphere and falling right back down.
Okay.
They're going to be out of the atmosphere for a couple of minutes, but it's going to be it's still going to be spectacular.
Bezos mentioned, others have mentioned how it changed them going into space. Did it change you at all?
Yeah, I think, and I'm still probably, I mean, it's been 10 years since I've flown space, and I'm still trying to process it. But what I experienced the first time I looked out the window and I saw our planet there, you know, I experienced this incredible sense of gratitude for the opportunity to see the planet from that vantage point, and gratitude for the planet that we've been given. And in some way that I don't think I'll ever be able to fully explain, being physically detached from the Earth made me feel deeply interconnected and deeply interdependent with everyone on it. I think I really got a true glimpse of the true unity that we as a species are called to, and it's a really unifying, transformative experience, and that's why I think the more people that have that experience, the better off we're all going to be here on the surface of the planet.
Well said. Former astronaut Ron Guerin, fighter pilot as well. Interesting books, Floating in Darkness, Railroad to the Moon. Check out the website, podcast also that he hosts. Hey, I had a chance to interview Gene Kranz years ago. People asked me about, you know, I've been fortunate to interview a lot of different people, and I always rank him as my number one guest because I was fascinated with time. Today we celebrate 52 years ago when Neil Armstrong took the steps.
But the
amount of technology, I remember Gene telling me here, Bell, you got more technology in your little flip phone than I ever had when we went to the moon. So it is amazing the technology that even Bezos is using that we almost, I think, sadly, Ron, we take for granted nowadays, right?
We do take it. That was a good G. Kranz imitation, by the way. We do take it for granted. And, you know, that's one of the things that the experience of seeing the planet from space did is it made me realize all those things, not just technology, but, you know, we're surrounded by, you know, countless beautiful miracles every day that I tend to take for granted. And, you know, one of the things that transformative experience gave to me as a gift is, you know, maybe I'm a little bit less likely to take these things for granted.
Interesting. Ron, I appreciate your time. Exciting morning for everybody, right?
It is.
Good
it
stuff.
Is. Thanks for having me.
Ron, thanks as always. Ron Guerin, former astronaut with us. Matter of fact, they're T-minus 1 hour, 2 minutes, 47 seconds. And the pictures of Blue Origin, this will be more like what we normally experience. It'll look like a rocket going up, you know, where Branson had his plane. So we shall see. Hopefully everything will be safe, and Bezos will have a great report from the level of space, if you will, that he's going to check out. 7:58 News Radio, WTAM. We had our Wills and Snyder golf outing last week. It's a very exclusive event. We only invited Scooter at Medina Country Club. Joined us last week.
Yes, it was a great, amazing day.
And I want to thank, stopped by Skyline Chili yesterday, Stowe, Greg Herricks, who helped us out this year with the Coach for Kids campaign.
Yes.
He dropped off Coach. Remember?
Right. Yeah, he did, and we had the big barrels up in the lobby, and he came in there and took care of the listeners with some chili.
Thank you. Shout out, I was coming back from Clavin yesterday. If you follow me on Twitter, at Bill Wills, WTAM, you saw it was Skyline time. So a little Skyline chili. Greg's the franchise owner there at Steele's Corner, Route 8 in Stowe. So when it's a Skyline time for you, stop in and see Greg and the crew. Great experience. And I was talking to him some about the challenges we've all had with the pandemic, especially in the restaurant business. Now, he had a drive-through, or has drive-through service, which really helped when things shut down, because you could drive through and pick up your Skyline and salads or whatever you want. But I may be off on the numbers, but I think he said he's got ten employees. It took like three to keep things staffed during the pandemic. So about, it might have been seven. He said, look, just go ahead and take the unemployment, which is what everybody was doing in the service industry, and then, but please come back when I call you. And that's the problem at so many restaurants, right? Trying to get people to come back.
Right.
I think he told me out of the seven, five of them came right back.
Oh, that's good.
I mentioned that
that's
because it just shows the culture and treating people right, and it goes both ways in business and that sort of thing. So just a shout out. I really enjoyed talking to him. If you stop in for some chili, tell Greg hi. Skyline there on Steele's Corner, Route 8, Stowe, for Skyline time yesterday. So Greg listens every morning. We appreciate it. And thanks for the help, too, with the Coats for Kids campaign.
Awesome chili.
He said it'd be our fourth. Next year, if we need a fourth.
Oh, okay.
I said, you'd be Scooter's partner. He said, well, let me know the date first.
Bring the chili. Bring the chili.
He said we'd have to go Skyline afterwards.
But bring a few of those little dogs. I like those little hot
cheese
dogs.
Cheese cones. Yeah, onion mustard. Yeah, I had those. Just a small.
Those are good. I like potato chips.
It's a good place. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, thanks, Greg. Appreciate it, partner. Greg. Have a great day at Skyline, okay? It's Skyline time. They're good people. WTAM 11. 8:24, this is Bill Wills. A couple stories around Cleveland politics. Proceedings in the case against Cleveland City Councilman Kenneth Johnson underway. Jury selection started yesterday. Johnson's the one accused of defrauding the city of federal funds. Johnson's been removed from his role on council. He's pled not guilty. We also, of course, have the mayor's race and the pick and the primary here coming up. Paul Orlowski joins me. I got to laugh, though. Paul, good morning. Appreciate your time.
Good morning.
I got to laugh because you claim to be a retired news reporter. You're never retired if you're a news person, right?
I've got to do what Mike Snyder does, because you talked about playing golf with Mike. I saw him at Jimmy Malone's at a different event last week.
Yeah.
You know, he shows up from time to time.
Yeah. No, he does. He did, but he's excellent golf, too. But he's excellent. Yeah.
I find this stuff fascinating, the political stuff. And I got a pretty good look at a Zogby poll. So And when you look at polls, you have to remember something. The only one that counts is the one on election day.
Exactly.
When people actually cast their vote. But some interesting insights into the whole thing. Dennis Kucinich has about a 7% to 7-point lead. But I thought one of the interesting things in any polls, you can watch how they shift. We talked, 5-6 weeks ago, and about 40% of people were undecided. Well, that's down now to about 30% of people being undecided, a little less than that. And Dennis Kucinich has about almost a quarter of those, 1 in 4, say they like Dennis. And then again, a little over 1 in 4 are still undecided. But he leads among a lot of the demographics, and I think significantly, if you talk about any of the other candidates, he's their second choice. Well, only two people are going to, qualify for the final after the primary. And a lot of those votes, and including Republicans, go to Dennis. What's not surprising, of course, is the fact that crime and public safety are the number one concern among people. And also, interestingly, they find Dennis is the most trusted and ready to lead, according to people. So it's kind of interesting. This poll kind of talks about some of the challenges to others, including Zach and including Dennis as well. Dennis is trusted the most, as I say, but when people were asked who they would never vote for, Zach Reed led the pack with about 1 in 5, and Kucinich about 1 in 5 as well. But so it's kind of all over the board in a way, but the shift is interesting in that more people are making up their minds.
Paul Orlowski with me looking through over some Zogby numbers on the mayor's race for Cleveland. It does show Dennis Kucinich. I mean, it's been a while since he served in office. Of course, he was in the Congress, and we know in Columbus, and obviously the history with the mayor's role here in Cleveland. But he is a still a political machine to be dealt with. I mean, he has a lot of passionate followers, right?
There's no question about it. I think, you know, last year when I wrote that book, I said I knew Dennis. He's not done. Dennis isn't going to be done until Dennis decides he's done. He's a populist, no doubt about that.
Right.
He just released a book, The Division of Light and Power, 650-some pages, well-documented. And he, don't forget something else. You know, in his big fight against big electric powers, at one point, remember there was an assassination plot against him over at 117th and Lorraine, where he used to go to breakfast every morning at Tony's Diner. So he knows how to make headlines, and this seems to show that people remember him.
Yeah. So issues, crime, West Side Market's got to be bothering people too. It's just another example of the city of Cleveland just can't quite get things done, you know, with the power problems over there too.
Yeah, exactly. I think people think it's just time for a change and maybe a radical change.
Yeah, we'll see.
Dennis would probably be a radical change, that's for sure.
Okay, so Zogby, at least right now in this sample, shows Kucinich ahead.
Yes, okay. Absolutely. That's 7 points.
Hey, one other thing, just because you're not retired, how about the Chantel Brown Nina Turner race? I mean, a lot of the pastors got together, said, "Wait, calm things down a bit." The TV commercials are hilarious because these two are really starting to rip each other, which is, I think, entertaining.
And you know, that's the whole thing. This negative campaigning is just it's the way to go now. It's I'd rather hear more about what you want to do as opposed to what the other one didn't do.
Right. Yeah. Well, politics today. All right. Paul Orlowski, keep a sharp eye on stuff. Let me know when you see something new. Okay, pal?
Absolutely. And we're going to be teaming with WTAM for Coats for Kids. We're going to be selling the book at the Trevisano's event. And,
outstanding.
$5 from every book sale goes to Coats for Kids.
Outstanding. We'll be talking about that more. Paul, all the best. Thanks, buddy.
All right, Bill.
Take care. Paul Orlowski, keeping a sharp eye on some numbers he's seeing on the Cleveland mayor's race.
The real estate market is hot, but there is a cautionary note. When houses don't sell, it's usually because buyers can't deliver, which means if you're planning to sell your home, you need an agent with the knowledge and expertise to guide you to a successful closing. And I have your solution. Mike Snyder for Ryan Young and the Young team, Keller Williams, Greater Metropolitan, the only agent I'd go to if I was going to sell my home. Ryan and his team, well, as Ryan puts it, his team embraces accountability, commitment, consistency, and teamwork. Now, his team gets results for their clients. Brad and Jill looking for a larger space with extra room for the kids. Listed their Fairview Park home with the Young team. Could not believe the results. Within 3 days, their home sold for a whopping $46,100 over the asking price. This opened the way for them to purchase the home that they needed for their own family. Put Ryan and the Young team to work for you. Call them today, 216-208-4391, 208-4391, or go to theyoungteam.com. That's theyoungteam.com.
Wear what you love. That's what Jen Kleinhans says when it comes to jewelry. Get by Kleinhans Jewelers. Bill Wills for Kleinhans was by a couple weeks ago, and Ken was showing me some amazing things from a designer called Sloan Street. Kleinhans Jewelers features luxury jewelry for all ages, featuring 18-karat gold, diamond fashion jewelry. Great designers like Sloan Street, Simon G, they've carried for years. I mean, they've got gold jewelry from Lika Bahar as well. I mean, just high fashion, beautiful, everyday stuff too, casual wear. What you want and what you will love to wear and what that person that you want to give a gift to will love to wear, you'll find at Kleinhans Jewelers. Shop them off I-90, Columbia Road exit. They're on Detroit in beautiful Westlake, KleinhansJewelers.com. Wear what you love. You'll see it at Kleinhans Jewelers. Let's talk some Tribe News Radio, WTAM 1100. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside in Houston, Texas this morning is Jim Rosenhaus after a 4-3 loss last night. Jim, good morning.
Good morning, Bill.
Hey, Houston's tough. We did get, 8 hits off them, though, last night, right?
Yeah, you know, they came in, they're leading the league in runs scored and batting average, and their pitching's right up there, too, and they have the best fielding percentage, fewest errors, all that, so, you know, you expect it to be a tough series, and the Indians have had their struggles with them this season, but there they were in the ninth inning, tying run on base, so they hung in there. J.C. Mejia, they're trying to kind of get him going as a young pitcher who has very little experience above single A heading into this season. And he almost got the game through five. So, you know, I think there's certain nights you just say if they can keep it close and have a chance to win, you feel okay about that. And I think that's probably the takeaway from last night.
And a lot of the guys in the bullpen, besides some of the most familiar names, have done a pretty good job of late, haven't they, Jim?
They sure have, Mike. And you know, it's a situation where you come out of that All-Star break, and for certain pitchers, it's almost been 2 weeks since they've gotten work in. And in some ways, that's good because they've gotten a break after a really heavy workload heading into the All-Star break. But how do you stay sharp? And Tito's been able to get everybody, I think, except for Justin Garza, in there now since the All-Star break ended. And that's a good thing. And last night, after Mejia left the game, the bullpen with names like Trevor Stephan and Blake Parker, Nick Whitgren, they did not allow Houston to score anymore, and that allowed the Indians to get back in the game and have a chance to win. So that's really encouraging when you can have the bullpen perform, and you're just not going to the same pitchers every night.
Now tonight, Tristan McKenzie on the mound. Jimmy, and we talk about these young pitchers. He had a great outing in his last start, and now can you do it again? That's what the big leagues is all about, isn't it?
It sure is, and for him, that's been a real struggle because we've seen it where he's been really good on certain occasions, and certainly his last time he was. Tonight will be a bigger challenge because of what Houston presents offensively, but you take those good outings and try and figure out what went right, why he had success, and he's certainly doing that, and the pitching coach is obviously, you know, zero in on that. But when he pitches near the top of the strike zone, there's something going on there that's really hard to hit for the hitters. He's got that late life, as they say. And we'll see if he can get that going here tonight. And the key with him has been, whenever we've seen him, he's got to have that good command. When that gets away, mm-hmm. It's trouble.
Yeah, know where it's going. Hey, we talked to Hammy some yesterday. The win of the series in Oakland, that is big news. I mean, you know, Tom explained it. You know, you get out there, it's pretty much that team feels like it's them against everybody with the facility, the lack of fans, that sort of thing. But good focus with the Tribe, and they almost swept him, right, guys? I mean, with Oakland, right?
Yeah, I mean, you could say that I think they felt like they could have swept the series because Friday night they were right there, right. And lost on a walk-off. But, yeah, Oakland plays really well at home. They were second in the league in walk-off wins. And you know, the two wins the Indians had, Oakland was in position to walk it off again, and they got the job done. So that was a real nice series win for the Indians. And especially you had some younger players like Bradley Zimmer and Daniel Johnson who – were a key part of it, and that's really important, I think, to keep an eye on that kind of thing in the second half.
8:10 first pitch tonight. Tristan McKenzie, our Dollar Bank Tribe Insider, presented by Brew Kettle, cranks up at 7 on News Radio WTAM 1100, home of the Indians. Jim Rosenhaus in Houston this morning. Rosie, thanks much.
Thanks, guys.
See you, Jim. Blue Origin's in a hold. We're used to these sort of things when you're watching NASA operations. First human flight in 15 minutes, and the hold is now just over 3 minutes. Nothing new technically wrong, I guess. They're just working to hold in as they would, I guess. So we'll keep an eye on it for you. And Geraldo will have more coming up after 9. Okay, your 401k stock market. Dow dropped yesterday over 700 points. President Biden even asked about this yesterday, said stock market's higher than it's been in all of history, maybe even a down month. I don't look at the market when it comes to which way the economy is going. That's what the president had to say. Well, let's talk about this with Caleb Silver, editor-in-chief at Investopedia. Great website, a lot of good content and things about money. Hi, Caleb.
Good to be with you.
Okay, over 700-point drop. I was told Wall Street was nervous about all the COVID news.
Yeah, there's some of that. You know, we haven't heard words like partial shutdown, CDC issuing travel restrictions now to certain countries. We haven't had that kind of language traveling around the stock market in a while. So you have that with the perfect storm of rising inflation, which is about on everybody's mind, but not an issue yet. You put those two things together, and you had a little bit of a sell-off yesterday. 700 points sounds like a lot. It's about 2% on the Dow. But know this, the stock market has recovered about 100% since those lows of March 24, 2020. So investors have done very well. But we were due for a pullback. Usually, in a normal year, guys, we get three 5% drops at least three times a year. We haven't had a drop of more than 1% since October.
I wanted to pick up on that point, because for the market to go up, it's got to go down in a way. I mean, you got to sell to buy back, and a lot of this stuff's technical buying and selling, especially with the mutual funds. So maybe it was today to take an excuse to make a profit or two on, with some accounts.
I think so. That could definitely be part of it. But if you looked at where the money was moving, you could tell it was a fear trade. So the money was moving out of stocks, out of risky assets, and especially out of the recovery-related sectors like hotels, like transportation, like energy, like restaurants, and into safe havens like the U.S. Treasury bond, the 10-year, and also cash, money markets. We haven't seen that type of violent movement in the day, again, in about 9 or 10 months. So that tells you it was a fear trade. It was a safety trade. So we'll see if they come, investors come back. They came back and bought back about 200 points on the Dow right before the close yesterday, which shows you that there are folks out there willing to buy the dip. And in general, the trend has been higher for stocks, and the sentiment has been high for stocks because there's nowhere else to earn money with your money for those big investors.
Futures up 157 right now. Hey, finally, I was reading the thing the other night. There's finance versus the economy, it would seem. You and I can talk about Wall Street numbers with the financial markets, but the economy is typically Main Street, and we are still struggling between the shaking out of this pandemic, the supply chain, employment issues. It's an interesting time overall to watch things, right?
Absolutely, and folks really need to understand that the economy and the stock market are not the same thing. Sometimes they walk hand in hand and walk down the same path together, but in general, they are different. Investors are always anticipating the future. So you saw the stock market hit those record highs about 50 times since last year, since those lows, because that's investors betting on the future and betting on the future recovery and future profits. The economy takes its time, and folks feel that personally. The economy is very personal, like politics, whereas the stock market is something we can all watch and cheer on and watch our 401ks. But the economy is how you feel in your own little zone there. And not everybody's doing that great. But in general, bank accounts are strong. Household net worth has been strong. But we know it's been an uneven recovery.
Caleb Silver, editor-in-chief of Investopedia. Caleb, thanks much.
My pleasure.
Take care. 8:57. Check out the Daily Wills and Snyder podcast, iHeartRadio app. Get the take from Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dealer, cleveland.com. We're talking about Kevin Love with him this morning.
I mean, I've been thinking that this has got to be it for Kevin Love and the Cavaliers anyway this summer. And at first it was like, gee, this guy hardly played for the Cavaliers. Why is he trying to play in the Olympics?
Check the podcast out, Daily Wills and Snyder podcast, iHeartRadio app. More with Terry Pluto, plus astronaut Ron Guerin on the mission and Blue Origin that is set to take off shortly from Texas. The Daily Wills and Snyder podcast on the iHeartRadio app. Hey, back in the morning at 5, we'll start together. News, sports, traffic, and weather together on the 10s. Great book to Michael Bender, Wall Street Journal reporter, sat down with Trump. Talked about the election and how and why he lost. Tomorrow morning, we'll